doing vaudeville gigs and things like that. Finally, he always wanted to get back to Melanesia. Finally, in 1917, they got the money, they got a passage, they got back to Melanesia, and then they had their first major great adventure. In 1919, they got to Malekula, an island in Melanesia, kind of bad reputation, warlike people, and so forth. And they had camera equipment, and they took the camera equipment way up into the mountains. So they must have had a huge chain of carriers and so forth. They took them up into the mountains, and they were after the holy grail of that period was cannibals. And they were going to film a cannibal feast. Well, in the end, they never filmed a cannibal feast. But, well, they said they did. From a far distance, they filmed somebody eating a human spleen. That's what Osa said in her autobiography. And how they would recognize a human never mind. They really, anyway, they got up there. Then they were chased by the cannibals. The chief of the cannibals wanted to make off with Osa, so they said. And so they somehow outran the whole cannibal tribe down the hillside, carrying all their camera equipment, and they outran the natives who lived there, got back to their boat and sailed off. But they had some footage. 2 years later, they came back and showed the footage. This time, they stayed on the beach. They set up great broadsides about the footage. They showed the footage back to the same people. And that was kind of the peak of their activities in Malekula. But they made a great deal of money talking about it, and it got better and better. And it must have been a kind of innocent age. People would believe this sort of thing. By the early 20s, they realized they weren't going to find a cannibal feast. So they started going to East Africa and bopping back and forth, East Africa, back to the Western Pacific, back to the U.S. to do their lectures with footage they'd shot, illustrated lectures. And they, by the 20s, the big thing was not cannibals, but it was animals. So they more or less carved out a piece of East Africa that was theirs, and they shot a lot of footage of animals from plains, from the ground, and this was what really sold. They kept going back to Borneo to find orangutans. Orangutans really didn't make it compared to the animals of East Africa, but they were pretty good. And they went back and forth, back and forth. 1927, a little curious footnote, they're tremendous publicists, and they advertised for 3 Boyce Eagle Scouts that would come with them to Kenya for the summer. And they found 3 Scouts. They got tremendous publicity for this, and the Boy Scouts wrote a book about it. The book was published, I don't know about your experience in publishing books, but they got back in time for school, you know, August, September. The book was published in December. I can't explain that. But one of the Boy Scouts was one of the 15-year-olds was named Douglas L. Oliver, who got bitten by the same bug, but in a somewhat more respectable way. And he finally wound up at Harvard as a professor of anthropology, was my thesis advisor, and would never talk about that experience. And the word was, well, anyway. So they kept going. The filming got better and better. Time is up. All right. Well, what I really want to say is we're going to see them at the peak of their energy. We're going to see them on an African expedition in 1929. And then Congorilla, one of their sound feature films, 1932, opens in the Winter Garden Theater. We want to thank Summit for the African expedition, Scott Allen for editing that. And I want to thank Dan for everything you've done for us and with us. And thank you. Okay, let's look at America's favorite couple. I give you Martin and Osa Johnson.